On the break, I had the question asked to me is, have we begun the study of Christian integrity yet? And it's a good question, though, because we haven't really got into what is Christian integrity. But we're talking about the responsibilities and privileges we have.
我们这个在谈这个基督徒的品格呢，那一开始呢，听他等于是先把我们作为一个基督徒，在这个教会时期的基督徒，我们得到的一些神给予的一些特权，还有我们因此衍生的我们会有的对神的一个责任啊，他先从这个背景来跟大家说。
But part of developing our integrity is understanding what God expects from us.
所以呢，要我们的慢慢的这个能够长成一个基督徒的品格，我们必须要先了解神对我们的期望是什么。
Yeah, and from the opposite part of the journey that we're taking, we're moving up to where we can become responsible priests and responsible ambassadors. Yeah, so as we develop integrity, we're developing our ability to perform these responsibilities properly.We need to be responsible ambassadors and priests and children of God, and we can't do that without integrity.
因为我们要理解，就是啊，我们要成为一个好的神的祭司跟神的大使，我们必须要理解，就是怎么样的一个大祭司跟大使才是神所期望的。
And these responsibilities like we have on the new slide here, these are just some examples, but remember also we have a responsibility as witnesses in the angelic appeal trial. So that becomes part of our development of Christian integrity as well.
而当我们要真正认识这个基督徒的一个品格呢，我们也要理解我们作为一个神的见证人呢，也是神对我们的一个期待。
Yeah, and we really need to look at this as a big picture because a lot of Christians think their responsibility is like, okay, well, you have to go to church and you need to stop your sins, you need to read your Bible, things like that.
但是很多人呢，讲到说，一个基督徒的责任哦，大家常常会想的是，我们礼拜天必须要去教会做礼拜啊，我们必须要读圣经啊，我们必须要不可以犯罪。大家以为呢，一个基督徒该有的责任是这些。
Those are important things, of course, but the responsibility of us is all based around the spiritual. The spiritual life has to come first.
当然，这些都很重要，但是我们要更理解的这个一个基督徒的责任呢，是要从属灵上面来理解。
If you're operating correctly in the spiritual life, which means you're learning and applying the spiritual life, then everything to do with your day-to-day applications in the world, dealing with other people and dealing with your family and dealing with your jobs and responsibilities, that will all fall into place. You say fall into place, it will all be done properly.
其实对于一个基督徒来讲，他要理解，他在作为一个基督徒，被期待的是你跟你自己跟人之间跟你的家庭之间跟你的这个工作之间你该要怎么样去做一个合神心意的一些决定
Yeah, and that's why we don't get involved in like human type philosophies because they can look good and they think yeah, we can solve our human problems with that and you can but you can actually do it better with the spiritual lifeSee, a lot of people get involved in the human philosophies. What does this person think and what does that person think? But if it's not based on the word of God, then it might look good from a human perspective.
如果我们呢，只是想要这个从人的角度看事情、看人、看事的话，哦，好像一般的那种哲学在讲的事情，就是那都是从人的角度看的。所以你会觉得，哦，好像利用这种哲学的概念去分析、去行为、去做，好像都是人看起来都觉得不错的。但是实际上呢，这是不对的，因为我们要的是从神的角度来看。
Yeah, if you're studying Bible doctrine and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, then these are the powers you need to operate correctly in your life, in every aspect of life.
如果你有研读圣经，就了解神对我们的期待，神的话语是什么。然后你又有这个所谓圣灵充满的话，那这两件利器就会让你真正的能够成为符合神心意的人。
So getting back to the responsibilities in the spiritual realm, We've talked about being the priest and the ambassador already.
所以我们刚才呢说有关一个基督徒的责任呢，作为祭司啊，那以及作为基督的使者。
Okay, you have also a responsibility as an adopted son of God.
同时呢，你还有一个责任，就是作为神的养子。
Right, in Romans 8:15, it talks about, we have this word adoptio in the Latin, but let's go to the Greek actually. But we are adopted because we were previously not children of God. We were like children in the devil's world. And then God adopts us at the moment we believe in Jesus Christ.
我们是神的养子呢，是因为我们认了耶稣基督之后，我们就成为这个神的孩子，所以这有一点点像是养子的那种概念。
Yeah, so we have the word, for you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption.
在罗马书八章十五节说，你们所受的不是奴仆的灵，重新害怕，所受的乃是儿子的灵，凭此我们呼叫阿爸父。
Now, do you have the word adopted in there? So we have the spirit of adoption. Does it mention that word in the Chinese?
No.
Wow. Okay. This is a perfect example we saw from Revelation chapter 22. It says, if you leave anything out of the Bible, you're cursed. We have English, and then you have this word, weothesis, which means adopted. It must be translated as adopted. They don't have that. So these people have done a very bad job of translating. That's a very important word, and they took it out.
在这个中文的圣经里面呢，漏掉了一个这个希腊文以及英文都有的一个字啊，就是 adoption， 这个字就是养子的那个，就是收养的那个字。
Yeah, because we came into the world, we were not children of God.You have to understand that anyone born into the world is not automatically a child of God.
我们要了解哦，当我们生下来成为一个人的时候，我们还不是神的儿子哦。我们完全跟天父一点关系都没有。
You become a child of God when you believe in Jesus Christ. According to Galatians 3:26.
而是在加拉太书三章二十六节呢，就是当我们承认耶稣基督之后，我们才成为神的儿子。
And Jesus called the Pharisees. They were religious people. They hadn't believed in Jesus. What did he call them? Remember what Jesus called the Pharisees? Children of what?
Devil.
Children of the devil. Children of Satan.
还记得在那个新约里面呢，耶稣叫那些法利赛人呢，是恶魔的儿子。
You only become a child of God when you believe in Jesus.
所以呢，唯有你相信耶稣基督了，你才会是天父的孩子。
Now it's interesting, the angels, all of the angels, whether they're fallen angels or whether they're elect angels, means that the angels on God's side, they're all called children of God.
有趣的事情呢，所有的天使，不论是在天上的天使，或者是所谓的这个堕落天使，他们也都被称为神的儿子。
You see this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
在这个创世纪的六章一到二节就在讲这件事情。
And in the book of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have sons of God talking about the angels, but talking about the bad angels.
那约伯记第一章跟第二章呢，也都是把天使们当作是神的儿子。
Why does God call the angels sons of God?
在因为呢，神就叫那些天使他的孩子，他的儿子。
Because the angels, even the bad angels, are created directly by God.
因为呢，即使是不论好坏了，好的天使也好，坏的天使也好，他们都是神直接创造的，所以呢，可以被称为是神的儿子。
But as humans, we're not created directly by God. Our soul is, but our bodies are created through our parents, of course.
而我们人类呢，我们并不是直接被神所创造的。我们的肉体是靠着我们的父母亲所创造出来的。
And we don't even have a human spirit, so we can't be called children of God until we have the spirit. When God creates a spirit in us at the time we are born again.
而且呢，我们生下来的时候只有魂跟肉体， 并没有灵，还没有人的灵，因此呢我们根本没有灵，就怎么可能是神的孩子呢？一直到我们信了耶稣基督的时候呢，才会有人的灵被创造出来，这个时候我们才像是神的孩子。
So we become children of God when we believe in Jesus Christ.
所以我们要相信了耶稣基督，我们才成为神的孩子。
Okay, and if you're not familiar with Galatians 3:26, it's a very important verse when you're evangelizing.
加拉太书的3:26是一节非常重要的传福音的金句，这句话说，所以你们因信在耶稣基督里都是神的儿子，因为你们信耶稣基督了，所以你们才是神的儿子。
In a similar fashion, I guess, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, another position you get is a bride of Christ. We're called his bride.
另外一个角色呢，就是成为基督徒之后呢，我们要作为基督新娘的这个角色。
We have verses like Ephesians 5:23 and Revelation 21:2.
就像以弗所书的5:23，还有启示录的21:2，都有提到作为基督徒，就像作为基督的新娘。
Jesus, he's our husband to be, our new husband, because we got divorced from the old husband, which is the sin nature.
而当我们成为一个基督徒的时候呢，耶稣基督就成为我们的新郎。那我们其实就是脱离了我们之前的那个丈夫啊，那个旧的丈夫，就是我们的罪性。
Yeah, Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, how you're divorced from your old husband, that's the sin nature, and you get married to the new husband, which is Jesus Christ.
所以就在保罗就在他的书中提到说，当我们成为基督徒的时候，我们就是等于跟我们的罪性离婚了，然后我们跟了耶稣基督结婚了。
But a lot of Christians, every Christian really, we find time to say goodbye to the husband and we go back to the old husband, which is the sin nature. Every time you succumb, every time you lose to the temptation of the sin nature and you sin, you've gone back to the old husband.
而当一个基督徒啊，每一次呢屈服于我们自己原来的罪性，就做了一些不合神心意的事情的时候，就好像我们又跑回去找我们的离婚的丈夫一样，是一个坏的那个罪性，就是我们的坏的这个前夫。
And that's why James talks about the believers in the church being adulterers. He uses the word adultery, which means that's the word given to a woman or a husband that is unfaithful and going and having sex with somebody else. You know the word adultery? Basically having sex outside of marriage, but when you're married.
在圣经里面把这种称之为通奸，就是你去做了那个不合神心意的事情，做了这个跟你罪性，你还是顺着你的罪性去选择做一些事情，那就等于是在跟你的这个所谓坏前夫通奸。
See, in James 4:4, Paul says adulterers and adulteresses, but actually in the Greek it's just the one word, because all believers are put together, and the form is feminine. But really it relates to all the men and all the women who are going against the word of God.Do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, which means being an enemy of God? So you're going to the world, including your sin nature, and this means you're going away from Jesus Christ, who's your husband.
好，这个雅各书4:4讲到啊，那些淫乱的人呢，他其实这个概念是，如果用英文，他根本就是那些所谓通奸的人了。你们岂不知和世界的友谊就是对神的敌意吗？ Okay. 所以这个世界讲的就是这些我们罪性，这罪的世界。所以你如果你还要继续跟这些错误的概念为伍的话呢，你其实就是与神为敌。
But again, you know, the world means the sin nature, but also the temptations of the world. But the two work together. You should know that by now, that you know, the cosmic system of Satan and the sin nature, they're like good friends. They're always trying to meet up. The world system saying, come on, you should get involved in this kind of activity and that kind of activity.
我们要理解，就是我们的罪性 跟这个所谓的世界的体系其实就是同一国的啦，他们就是同一群的那个恶劣分子。所以当你要跟这个世界的系统，你要屈服于世界系统，就好像你是屈服于你原本身体的罪性，那你就等于是与圣洁为敌，你就与上帝为敌，你基本上你就是等于是在跟罪性通奸，跟世界系统通奸。
Now what is the responsibility of a bride?
所以到底一个基督的新娘的责任是什么？
Well, obviously, one of the main things is to be responsible by being faithful to her groom or to her husband.
所以对一个基督新娘来讲，她到底责任是什么？最简单的一个说法就是她必须要对她的新郎，也就是耶稣基督忠诚。
Now, there is coming a time in the future, it talks about in Revelation 21:2, where Jesus Christ will cleanse us and give us these new bodies.We're going to have these new resurrection bodies. There's no sin nature. We're going to be in a perfect environment. We're never going to sin again.
我们被提的时候呢，我们所有的基督徒，过去已经死去的，到现在的，都会得到一个新的身体。那个新的身体是完美无瑕，而且不再会犯罪的一个身体，是没有任何罪性的身体。
Yep.Okay, so this is, and after that, when Jesus Christ comes back at the millennium, we come back with him as the new bride, and then we're going to have the wedding feast.
而那个时候呢，我们带着这个新的身体，会跟耶稣基督一起再重返人间。
In Revelation 21:2, John saw this as a vision.And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Very beautiful.
启示录的二十一章第二节呢，是约翰写着说，我又看见圣城新耶路撒冷由神那里从天而降，预备好了，就如新妇装饰整齐，等候丈夫。
Now, we're just finishing off the Angelic Conflict series that I've been posting into the line and the WeChat groups. And this is what we've been talking about, is the New Jerusalem.
这边所讲到的就是那个新的耶路撒冷城。
Yeah, so if you've been following the lessons I send out every day on the line, you'll understand exactly what's happening here.
之前呢，听有讲这个生命册，那刚好把生命册讲完。
But the bride here is the perfect bride. This is after we've been cleaned up. Because the bride gets dirty. Every time we sin, it's like we're in our beautiful dress, but then we're rolling around in the mud before the wedding.
我们要知道呢，我们作为一个新娘，我们每一次犯罪的时候，我们就把我们自己的这个新娘的白纱礼服给弄脏了。那但是呢，在这个所谓新耶路撒冷城的时候，我们是带着一个完美无瑕的身体来成为耶稣基督的新娘的时候，我们那时候是完全不会有任何犯罪的因素，我们的罪性完全是离开我们，我们是一个完美无瑕的新娘，是洁白的。
In the future will be perfect, but right now we're not, but we still have that responsibility not to sin. We must be faithful to the groom.
但是因为我们现在还不是在那个未来的那个被提之后的可以得到一个全新无瑕的身体的新娘，所以我们现在在人世间，我们依然是有可能犯罪的，因为我们还是有罪性在身上。那我们就要非常小心的学习怎么样不会犯罪，然后成为是神，尽量保持我们是最完美无瑕的状态。那就是要学习成为圣经的一个守护者，作为一个好的新娘。
Now the next responsibility or the next role that we have is as caretakers of the canon of scripture.
我们要有的责任就是成为圣经的正典的守护者。
I talked about before the break how Israel used to have that responsibility. They were the client nation. They had the responsibility as the priests and ambassadors, but also to look after the word of God.
我们之前有讲到，就是以色列呢，他过去的责任呢，一个是成为神的祭司，第二个呢是成为神的大使。那更重要的还有一个责任呢，是要保守神的话语。
See, looking after the word of God has become the responsibility of Gentiles in the church age. It's the responsibility of the church.
而在这个教会时期的我们的信徒们呢，我们有个真的很重要的一个任务，就是要保守神的话语。
It's interesting when you look at the apostles, like, you know, there was the 12 apostles and then Judas died and then we have Paul as the new apostle. So really there's 12 apostles. And really it was only Paul and maybe Thomas that went to the Gentiles. All of the other apostles stayed with the Jewish people.
Paul and...
And Thomas. They say that Thomas went to India. So there's some evidence that he went to India, but I don't think he had a very big ministry there. But Paul was the most successful.
在那个耶稣的十二个门徒，那犹大死了以后，算是保罗取代哈。那在这么多门十二个里面，只有保罗跟多马啊这两位呢，有对外邦人传教。
God had led Paul to go to the Gentiles, to go to Asia and Turkey and to Greece and these places, because he knew the Gentiles would be willing to accept the gospel message.
耶稣会让保罗呢去做这个外邦人的传教，是因为他知道这些外邦人呢，很多地方的外邦人是会接受福音的。
And so eventually we see the church developing, first like Rome, and then from there it went to Europe, and then to America and Asia, and out from there.
而我们在看那个福音的传递哦，它从这个以色列，然后往罗马。然后到欧洲，到英国，然后到美国，然后到亚洲，哈，它其实是一条很几乎就是全球巡回的一条路子。
Yeah, and Africa. We should mention Africa as well because the church has always been pretty active in Africa, and even lately, there's a lot of competition with the Muslims. But Christianity has been quite big in Africa, especially since colonization.
那我们也不能忘记在非洲哈，其实整个基督教的传播也是非常的热烈的哈。当然，穆斯林也很企图要传讲在这个非洲传讲，但是很明显的，基督教的信仰在非洲是非常受欢迎的。
Yeah, but the important thing is wherever the gospel goes, and if it comes into the hands of like a church or a church is established, that church has the responsibility to study the word, you know, with the pastor, and to keep the word pure, to keep it true.
而这些基督教就是有被传福音的这些国家地区呢，这些基督徒啊，他们去教会里面呢、啊，就最重要的就是要受到教会的牧师的教导。那牧师呢，他最重要的就是要让这些教友们可以得到非常明确的，然后还有纯粹的啊神的话语的教导。
Yeah, and yeah, the responsibility first lies on the pastor, teacher, of course. Yeah, he needs to understand the original languages. He needs to understand all of the main doctrines of Scripture.
而这些牧师呢，他们必须要非常认真的去是学习到原始的这个圣经的语言，好，就是比如说旧约啊，要用希伯来文去学，然后新约要用希腊文去学，才能够确认这些牧师他所教导的神的话语的教义是正确的。
And as believers in the church as well, you know, every believer is responsible for his decisions about where he studies the Word of God, for example. So they need to understand: is this pastor, is he prepared, is he teaching the Word of God properly?
而且呢，我们基督徒自己也要有这个分辨力啊，就是我们所受教的这个牧师呢，他是不是能够正确的，而且很认真的去准备。教导正确的神的话语。
Yeah, so we're all really responsible to be caretakers of the canon of Scripture. Like caretaker means, you know, to look after it, to make sure we understand it properly, to make sure we're telling other people properly about the Bible.
所以我们不论是这个教导的牧师，或者是被教导的信徒，我们都必须是那个非常小心谨慎的去学习，去保守这些圣经正典的守护者。
Because that warning that we saw in Revelation 22, you know, don't take away any words from Scripture and don't add, that applies to everybody.
因为我们已经在启示录上面最后22章里面学到，就是我们绝对不可以容许任何的人 从圣经正典里面啊加添任何材料，或者是拿走或减少任何材料。
Okay, I'll just finish off with the last slide. This is going to give us the introduction to our next class, talking about this system that we need to understand.
那同时呢，我们再把这个接下来这一张这个 PPT 再讲，要讲清楚的，就是让我们理解哈这个。应该说系统神学我们在学习的东西的一些重点。
Okay, so we can say this is the introduction to the next part of our study.
这一页呢基本上是我们接下来的课程的一个简介。
But what we've been talking about is advantages, or we can use the word privileges, but there are advantages for us as believers, which are part of this protocol system designed in heaven to function on earth now.
我们现在在学习的很多的优点呢，可以说是在现在地球上运行的一个属于天堂的一个协议系统的一部分。
Yeah, now a lot of people don't like to use the word system when you are talking about the spiritual life, because it sounds like it's some kind of a mechanical thing or something.
很多人不太喜欢用这个系统这个词，因为用了一个系统这个词，好像觉得是一种很机械的感觉。
We have to understand that God does everything with us. It is a system because he has a certain way of doing things. He organizes things properly, he has the priorities, he has the organizational structure.
但是我们要理解神呢，他在做所有的事情是的确很有系统性的，因为他是有一些次序的。他是有一些他认为有重点的先后次序的，所以这些东西就是所谓的一个律，就他创造这个宇宙是有一个他的设计，他的一个律的设计，一个规律的设计。
Yeah, if you look at every organization in society, whether it's like a school or it could be a hospital, the military, some government office, the bank, for example, everything has a system.
你看这个世界上也是一样，不论是学校银行、军队、政府等等的，它都是 有一个系统化的一个管理。
So why would the church not have a system?
所以 为什么教会不会有一个系统呢？
So yeah, once we understand how God has organized things, and then we can submit to the system, like we put ourselves in the system, and that gives us the basis for growing properly in God's plan according to his will.
所以当我们理解哈，这个凡事都有一个神他在设计的那种组织性的系统的话，我们呢就要服从于这个系统之中，而在这个组织的系统里面呢，我们就会有找到我们自己的位置，然后我们就会在这个位置上逐渐的成长，或逐渐的这个高升哈等等的，就你就会比较能够适应他的这个所造的这个世界。
Yeah, I think a lot of people that they like to work outside of the system because they don't have the humility to submit to authority.
但是很多人呢不喜欢接受任何的这个组织性的系统，他喜欢呢活在这个系统之外，原因就是因为他没有那种谦卑的态度，所以他就不会有那个顺服的心。
It's like they think, well, I have this direct relationship with God, and I've got my Bible, and I don't need to be part of any organization. And they think, I can do what I want, because God's going to speak to me, and then I can do whatever I want. This is my relationship with God.
那有一些人呢，他觉得说，哦，我已经认识神了，然后呢，神会直接跟我说话，我就跟神有很好的关系就好了，所以我不需要进入任何的这个信仰的系统。
And then they think they can be a great believer.
而且他们认为他们这样子可以成为很棒的信徒。
You imagine someone trying to be an engineer, but they don't go to engineering school.
这很像一个人想要当一个这个工程师，可是他不愿意到一个工程师的学校里。
Well, they're going to be a doctor, but they never even went to medical school.
或者他有一个人想要当医生，可是他却从来不愿意进到一个医学院。
Maybe they can deceive themselves into thinking they can become a great engineer or doctor, but if they make a bridge, that'll fall down, and I'm sure he'd kill many people if he's a doctor.
那你想想看，如果是这样的一个人，他认为他自己已经成为了一个自修而成的一个医生，然后呢，他就出去行医，你可以想象他会害死多少人吗？
With the system in God, we actually have the adjective here. This is called protocol, which usually protocol is used in a very high manner, like in a royal family or with the military when they're having their special, very, very small details, I think, that have been around for a very long time as well.
那这边如果大家有看得到这个荧幕上的这个英文的话哈，这边有个字叫 protocol， 这个 protocol system 呢，被这边是翻成叫协议啊，但实际上它其实比较是那个皇家用词，就是一个皇家的仪典，就是它的那种规矩，好，那种一个仪式规矩这种东西就是 protocol。
Okay, we'll talk more about that later.
等一会儿再谈。
Okay, but the next line here says the protocol system can be divided into 8 categories, which will be the basis of our study.
而这个所谓的疑点系统呢，大概可以分为八类，这就是我们要研究的基础。
Since it is a power system, we'll call it the divine dynasphere, and this comes out of Romans 1:4.
它呢是可以是一个力量的系统，我们就把它称之为神圣的动力系统。
So this will be our last verse today. In the English it says, talking about Jesus Christ. He was marked out the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
我们先看一下罗马书一章四节。按圣灵说，他是借着从死里复活，被指派为神掌权的儿子。
And the word where we get the divine dynasphere, it's a special word we're going to develop, is from the Greek word en dunamé, in power. This is the power that God has given to us. On Thursday, we're going to start looking at the verse, but we're going to be looking at this word in power.
我们在谈的这个字就是说那个 in power, 就是那个大能。
Yeah, because it's this power that's all around us, really. But it's the power that God gives to us. We live in this, it's like a region. We call it a sphere. So you live in the sphere of power that God gives to us.
我们其实是有一个神的大能，像是一个球状的一个大能。他在这边在讲的就是说，我们其实是坐有这样的一个神掌权儿子的能力。
Yeah, and so the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead and that kept Jesus holy. Now, Jesus, he never sinned. So this is the power that was given to him, which God gives to us.
而这样的大能呢，就是神呢可以让耶稣从死里复活的那种大能。这个大能神也给了我们。
Yeah, and this is all part of God's system.
这都是神的系统。
Okay, so we'll start with that on Thursday. We'll be talking about this power from God.
好，我们星期四要继续谈，还有这个礼拜天呢、哦，就礼拜六的课我们还是改到礼拜天来上，就是一样是礼拜天的下午三点。那礼拜四我们是这个礼拜四我们是七点一样七点来上，然后礼拜天是下午三点到五点。
Okay, so let's bow our heads.
好，我们现在低头祷告。
Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the time and the, for the power that comes from your word and from the Holy Spirit.
我们感谢来自你给我们的这个圣灵的教导，让你以及你的话语。
We give thanks for your doctrines, which is truth to our souls in order that we can understand your plan.
同时感谢你所给我们的这些教义，这些都是对我们的魂来讲是真理的教育。
We pray that through the experiences that we have every day that you'll encourage us to keep applying your word to those situations.
而且我们也要祷告，希望我们每一天都能够好好的运用你所教导的在我们的生活上。
We give thanks for these things in Christ's name.
所有祷告因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Serena. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Serena.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.